Carrie and Tommy have a stack of laughs for you in this podcast all sorted. And Tassal has dinner sorted with responsibly sourced Tassie salmon that has a healthy boost of omega-3 in every bite.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to it for your Thursday, arvo. How are we, guys?
Yeah, we are so good.
Place stinks.
Yeah. What is it?
Broadcasting from a granny flat at my house today, yeah. And there is something hiding somewhere in here. Either an animal's died, one of you has been to the bathroom and not flushed.
Mate, do not
or
blame.
Or it's a leftover coffee. Last time it was a leftover coffee cup. And the milk had gone
sour. This is your place.
I know.
We come in here once a week, and every time before you get down here, Sondra and I are walking, and it is death in here. So we light a candle, and now you're throwing this back at us.
You just spilt stuff on the carpet before. I think it's a collective effort.
That
either
was an
way,
energy drink.
We are working in a cesspit.
Yes. Yes.
And it's really
but
hot.
Hang on. You're saying we work in a cesspit. You live here.
No, but I don't live out here.
Oh, so you just disregard.
No, this is our space for broadcasting from. Oh. I don't come and just hang out here on my own.
It's
when
not
you guys
our granny flat. Yes, you do. The gym's downstairs.
Yeah, but I don't use that.
Because it stinks too much.
It does. It smells like wet dog. Anyway, huge show. Still, like, are you not sweating?
Hey?
You're not sweating.
Am I sweating?
Yeah,
no,
I'm really hot.
From the smell?
Just all of it. We're going to give away $1 million. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to try to give away $1 million.
Go to a song.
Come on.
We haven't said what's coming
up. Well, I want to hear everything. I watched your Daniel Johns interview on the project last
night.
Oh,
wasn't he amazing?
It was incredible. Yeah. And I want to know all the bits that didn't get to air. I want to know everything.
We will discuss it next.
Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday arvo.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across Australia for your Thursday arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So I had a brilliant chat with Silverchair frontman Daniel Johns last night.
What a superstar.
On the project. What a beautiful man as well. Just such a lovely soul. I had only seen him be interviewed a few times before because he doesn't like doing interviews. I could tell even as we did it together that he was uncomfortable being there. It's not his thing. He is a very private man, and obviously he's been in the public eye for a lot of his life, for things that he probably didn't want to be in the public eye for, not just his music.
Yes.
His battles with anorexia. He had severe arthritis in the years that followed.
That's
after that.
Right.
Yeah. And he talks about in this new podcast, which is why we were doing the interview, his new podcast, Who is Daniel Johns? And it's him telling his side of the story. He talks about when he had his arthritis, it got so bad he'd have to spend 3 hours a day in an oxygen chamber, which I didn't really understand what they did, but his dad would have to sit and watch him to make sure he was okay in those 3 hours. And you think, you know, you see people up there on stage in bands and all of this, and you think of them, you know, you see them as your heroes and all that. You often don't think about what's actually going on for them in their private lives. And we spoke about that a lot last night. And he said, you know, never to judge a book by a cover, because you have no idea what's going on. When you see images of him on the front page of the paper, there were periods where he struggled with addiction, you know, and he'd be snapped by the paps in a situation that even he probably wasn't proud of or wasn't comfortable in. But there was lots of other stuff going on for him at the time. But I found it really interesting talking about the early days of Silverchair, because I was a young girl when Silverchair were huge.
I was a young girl too.
I saw them at Big Day Out. I was a massive, massive, massive fan. And I remember the hysteria sort of, like I think I was part of it, but I never sort of stepped away from it and thought, imagine being them. Like, you know, they were 14 when they burst onto the scene, and then they're from Newcastle, and they're off playing at Madison Square Gardens and all these places, traveling the world as these young kids. You know, I think of Ollie now. Like, imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
There's no way he could go to Madison Square Gardens now.
Well,
and do
he's
anything.
Not musically talented enough.
Oh, you're great at the piano, mate. You're really good. Obviously
Madison
not,
Square
no,
Garden
not
good.
Madison Square Garden good, but this was him talking about the hysteria, and particularly one moment at a Big Day Out in Sydney where they were playing on the small stage, not on the main stage, but they probably should have been on the main stage because the crowds just wanted to see them.
I think the one that Australians would know is the Sydney Big Day Out when we were teenagers, when we were kids. People were hanging off rafters and sitting on roofs, and the guy was swinging like it was monkey pole. It was like 100 metres in the air. And just watching that going, I've only seen this in like Beatles documentary.
And he spoke a lot about that, how growing up he'd seen, you know, the Doors movie, you know, the Doors in movie and movies and stuff, and thought, I want to be like that, you know, docos and stuff, and that he kind of confused fame with art, and that he wanted to create and make art, but the fame bit never sat very well for him. And a lot of people have been asking about whether we'll ever see Silverchair reform again. I mean, I think that's what fans want, you know, make some more music. And there's been rumours about it, and he addressed that last night.
It seems like you've got quite a tricky relationship with how you feel about that time and with Silverchair. Would that be an accurate way to describe it?
Yeah, that's a very accurate appraisal. It's not that I'm not proud of the work. I'm actually really proud of the work. It's just that it's emotionally triggering for me. It still kind of burns.
It was interesting you saying about Silverchair that you wouldn't reform for $1 million or even if someone had a gun to your head. That's a pretty firm no.
Well, you know why I said that? I was firm that Silverchair were not getting back together. But one of the other members, maybe two of them, kept saying, no, we're just on a break and we'll be back. And I was like, this is really starting to affect my mental health because I'm saying that's it. And every time I tried to tell the truth, someone told a lie. So I was like, I wouldn't get Silverchair back together with a gun to my head for $1 million. Maybe that was too harsh in hindsight.
He went on to say he'd never say no to $10 million. So if we can get a GoFundMe going, we might be able to get them to reform. He also then went on to talk about how he never wants to perform again. He finds going to gigs brings up a lot of stuff for him because of the type of environment. And I was trying to remember the last time I was at a gig, because I haven't been in a mosh pit in a long time. I don't even remember that feeling. You know that feeling, that heaving feeling
when you were at that Slipknot concert last year? Were you?
No, but I don't think I've ever, even when I'd go to those gigs as a teenager, I think I'd be at the back. I was never at the front. And I can imagine as a performer looking down how intense it must be. You're seeing people, like, you're just in waves moving. People get crushed. People, the hysteria would be a lot.
My first big mosh pit was when I was 14 and I was tiny, and I was at Big Day Out waiting for Chili Peppers to come on. Just watched Nine Inch Nails from the Chili Peppers mosh, so they're side by side.
Yeah, right.
Because we wanted to be right in the middle of the Chili Peppers mosh. And just before Peppers came on, the pit started to sway and my feet weren't touching the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was
just
swaying
being
around. Yeah. And a dude, this big dude, looked down at me and he goes, you ever been in a mosh pit before? And I was like, no.
No.
And he goes, you're going to effing die. Oh. And then the Peppers came on and I would just crowd surf the whole time. Because back then, I think crowd surfing is like not
a thing
cool now.
No. Do you remember when you tried to crowd surf when we did for radio? Yeah, that didn't end
don't
well.
Don't talk.
No.
About that,
but I was thinking also about his time when he was saying at Big Day Out, how people were climbing like the light poles 100 metres in the air just so they could get a glimpse of the band. And I thought, I'd love to hear from people on 131060 what went down at the gig you're at, in a mosh pit, on stage.
Mosh memories.
Mosh memories. Great. Call us 131060.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday arvo and 131060. We want to know your hectic concert experiences.
Yeah, mosh memories. What went down in the mosh pit? Ooh. Jamie. Ooh. Or what?
No, you go, Jamie. You go.
Where were you, Jamie? Paint us the picture.
I was at the Big Day Out years ago, back when, before any restrictions whatsoever came on, and Dillinger Escape Plan came on, and the lead guitarist just shoulders, walks into the center of the mosh pit, stands there, everybody grabs his ankles, holds him up, and he starts playing his solo. Glorious.
So he just
moment.
Did he wobble as he walked across, or just like real, like,
he did a little bit.
Jesus
he
on water gear.
Yeah, exactly right. Just everybody was super careful holding him up. He was gentle on shoulders, checking with people, nodding, and then he just stood there and went for it. Amazing.
And now we're scanning in with QR codes.
Yep. And now
it's not very
we can't
rock
go to the
star,
beach
though.
For 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's not very rock star to be, are you okay? Is that hurting? Shall I just,
yeah.
Is you okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to stand too hard on you. Yeah.
I remember I was in a mosh pit, a different Chili Peppers mosh pit, and I saw people doing the do.
That's gross. That's a lot.
Yeah.
How old were you?
14.
That's a real lot.
Because I saw them at Big Day Out, and then I saw them at their own concert. And
I thought you meant the couple.
Guys, here's my number. Let's catch up again. What are you guys doing next week? You look like fun.
Third wheeling it around the concert.
or doing it a solo. G'day, Callum.
G'day, how you going, guys?
Yeah, so good. Mosh memories, talk to us.
Yeah, so we were at Parkway and, you know, support band had warmed up, main band steps out on stage, Parkway starts to play, first dude goes up for the crowd surf, gets all the way to the front, security missed the catch, he hits the floor hard.
Oh.
Parkway looks down at him, stops playing, the whole band just stands there, the lead singer jumps on the mic and goes, we're not going to play anymore till he's treated. So I was working with St. John's, they jumped the rail for me, I had to treat him, and then they put him in an ambo, and then they all started playing again. They wouldn't play till he was better.
Oh, good.
So he was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah. So he had a mild spinal injury. Ended up having to go to hospital.
Whoa. Well, I hope if he's listening, he's fine. That's good on you, Callum. Thank you for getting involved. G'day, Heather.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Though we're talking mosh memories. What do you got for us?
So I was about 15 at my very first concert, which was an AFI concert, and my friend and I were holding hands going through the crowd trying to make our way to the front of the stage, and all of a sudden she gets ripped away from me, and I thought, oh, I'll just keep going to the stage, I'll meet up with her eventually. And all of a sudden the crowd's departed, and I thought, oh, this is nice, this is easy, just stroll through the middle of it, not realising I was in the middle of a death pit.
What does that mean?
Where they're punching the air, throwing their legs around, just mayhem.
They all run into each other. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How did you get out?
I just literally strolled through the middle, had no idea I was in it, turned around, saw what everyone was doing. I said, oh, well, I'm lucky.
Heather, obviously I know what AFI is, but for Bickers, what's an AFI?
What do you mean?
Concert?
I know what AFI is.
Oh, okay, have a go.
The Finn Australian, no, that's the Finn Review.
What's AFI?
AFI.
AFI is sort of like emo days, think screamo, and you got it.
Oh, what's the letters stand for?
In all honesty, it was 15 years ago and I would not remember.
Good on you, Heather. What?
I just find it funny that Heather didn't know either.
No, but you never did.
What?
You just went to bands, but you didn't.
What did you say?
A fire inside.
A fire inside.
AFI. That's what it's.
Is that the name of the band, or is? Oh, good on you,
Sharon. Talk to us. What's your mosh memory?
My mosh memory is it was about 77, 78, and I went to see Hush in my hometown of Cootamundra, and I don't know why I did this. Honestly, I had a bucket of hot chips, and I've thrown a hot chip at the stage, and it's gone into the mouth of the lead singer and fair square. And I knew I'd thrown it, and he said, if I find out who threw that chip, I'm going to shove it where the sun don't shine. And I swear, I shrunk. I was just so embarrassed.
Did no one dob you in, Sharon? Like, go, was the
hair? No, it was just, but we're in the mosh pit, so it was like, you know, all hands were going everywhere, and yes. I just had this chip, and I just threw it.
Sharon, did you eat the rest of your chips, or did you drop them?
Well, yes, I did.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Thursday arvo, Carrie and Tommy for Tassal Salmon, responsibly sourced Tassie Salmon.
What's your favourite one? Don't say mustard and dill because that's mine.
Why? Why can't we have the same favourite one?
Let's pick a different one.
What about the lemon one, the infusion one?
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Or the smoky one.
Yum. Get out and get yourself some delicious Tassal salmon responsibly sourced from the beautiful waters of Tasmania, Bickers.
Up next, you've inspired me, actually.
Have I?
With your working out.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what you're going to talk about next because every morning I think of you. Yeah. When I get up, I think, gosh, Tommy would already be at the gym by now.
Yeah, okay. I've got a little update for you. Anyway, that's next.
Not as inspiring?
We'll see.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy's Million Dollar Alpha Bucks is coming up a little bit later on this afternoon, so download the listener app and get onto it.
But right now, because I'm a new man.
I know. You've inspired me.
You want to be a new man?
No, I just, you've inspired me to get healthy.
I decided we were coming out of lockdown. You're so healthy.
Nah, but I just.
Is that what you're laughing at, Son? I'm like, you haven't had a drink in like 3 months. You're so fit.
No, I stopped working out for a bit. I just didn't have any motivation to do anything. And the mornings are the worst time for me. I just hate getting up early because Addie's always up early. I hate it all. But when you started saying a couple of weeks ago that you'd been doing it, I was like, yes, I should do that.
But aren't you working out every day?
As a result of you? No, I'm not.
It's not a bad thing.
No, I don't have time to work out every day.
Bollocks. You watch 3 hours of breaky TV every day.
A couple of times a week. 3 times a week.
Imagine if you worked out.
Are you interrogating how many times a week I work out?
Yeah. I just reckon you work out more than
two. No, I really don't. I don't have time to every day.
Well, I've been working out every day.
See?
I've been getting up at 5:30 and been working out by 6. And been trying to get to bed early. And I've done this for probably 3 weeks, up until this week, basically. And boy, have I fallen off the wagon this week.
Because you've been so happy with yourself.
I know.
And I feel like you've had a real spring in your step.
I'm miserable again.
Oh, why? What changed it?
No, I'm
not.
It
takes 30 days to change a habit.
Yeah, well, I didn't quite get to that. I don't know what happened. I think my reward system is set to very low before I deserve a reward. And so, and I just.
What do you mean by that?
So, like, I tell myself, I'm like, well done. You did one night without a drink. You can drink for a week. Good on you. like, good on you. Well done. You went to the gym today. Fantastic.
Eat
you can.
10 burgers. Yes.
And so I didn't go work out yesterday morning, right? And I said to myself yesterday, I was really unhappy with myself because I'd broken my chain, my cycle of doing this. And I said to myself, I'm not having a drink today. This was yesterday. I'm going to work out early in the morning. I'd organized PT for 6. And then my mate messaged me last night and he said, do you want to come have a beer in the park? And I said, yes. And so,
oh, no.
Yes. And so then I woke up in time. I woke up at 5:30.
Why are you doing PT so early?
Get it out.
No commitments at that time. Sleep, mate.
No, get it out of the way early. Then get started early. Good stuff. Well, here's how it went this morning. So I got up at 5:30 and then I went downstairs. And then Johnny, my housemate, he woke up, turns up, and he goes, are you going to PT now? And I said, yeah. And he said, how many hours sleep have you had? And I said, oh, a couple. And he said, are you sure you want to go to PT now? And that's when I walked to the fridge and I opened the fridge. And there's this lasagna guy in my area that delivers nothing but lasagnas, right? And I've been wanting to try this lasagna guy for ages. And so last night I got 3 lasagnas.
It's very niche business, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. they were excellent. But there was one lasagna left in the fridge. And so I messaged my PT at 5. It would be 38 now. And I said, hey, man, I'm not coming. And then I reheated a whole lasagna and I ate it and I went back to bed.
What happened to win the morning, win the day?
Well, I'd had a lasagna by 6. If that's not winning, I don't know what is.
That sounds like heaven. So now you're going to inspire me to have a morning lasagna.
Lasagna before 6. That's all you need to do, Bickers.
Some mince between the sheets before 6.
Some mince between the sheets. That sounds so filthy. I don't know why.
With a bit of bechamel.
Yeah, but a cream sauce. Chew that in there. 13:10:60.
What are we doing?
You were meant to work out. What did you do instead? I ate a whole lasagna and went back to bed. Give us a call, 13:10:60. You were meant to work out. What did you do instead?
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday arvo and on 13:10:60. What did you do instead of working out?
Yes, I was meant to work out bright and early this morning. Got up at 5:30. And by 5:38, I had messaged my PT and said, I am not coming. And then I placed a full lasagna in the microwave and I ate it. And by about 5:49, I was back in bed.
This should be Fat Cuts Anonymous.
Well, that's very hurtful.
No, you shouldn't eat a whole lasagna at 5:35 in the morning.
What? Yeah, I mean, you don't have to attack me personally, though.
Well, I was kicking you while you're down.
G'day, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, living the dream. You were meant to work out. What did you do instead?
Mate, let's just say I got up at 5:30, did the whole same thing as you did, you know, got up, jumped in the car, I was driving. This is Auckland, by the way, so it's freezing cold. And as I'm driving to the gym, I see Macca's is serving breakfast, and I said, you know what, stuff this, I am going for it. So we went from Macca's, following Macca's, went to Krispy Kreme's, from Krispy Kreme's went to BP, and then from BP, I went to KFC. It was great.
No, you didn't, Tony.
Mate, let's just say after a, let's say, four-month-long workout regime, you know, sometimes you just need to have a binge day, or maybe a binge week.
4 months? Tony, I'm just going to have a quick chat with my compadre over here.
I don't believe him.
You think Tony's lying?
Tony, I believe that perhaps you went to one of those places. Mm. I don't believe you went to all four in the same morning.
You have no idea how big my appetite is.
Oh, you're going to say, yeah.
The way you said that then was quite...
Have you seen the size of the appetite on Tony? Am I viewing it in the rearview mirror? Is that why it appears bigger? It's huge. Good on you, Tony.
Tommy, where did you go instead of going to the gym?
Oh, well. You know me. I wake up and I'm like, first thing's like, go for a run. It's usually like a 6 o'clock run, but today I had the struggle because I had my girlfriend over and, you know, like, you know where it goes.
I reckon we should stop talking to Tommy.
Do you reckon Tommy sounds like he goes to run or he smokes up and has a bricky bomb?
Well, all I know was Tommy was going to tell us that he'd been doing boxing and calisthenics, which I thought was a strange
Is that what he says when he goes, you know, when you wake up and you go from there and
Is
that boxing calisthenics? Elastics again, babe?
Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. And coming up soon, we're going to be playing $1 million Alpha Bucks. So download the listener app and get ready to play.
But this is a bit exciting.
Yes.
You can have Tommy in your bedroom at night.
Yes. Like multiple times. You can actually, we can go over and over.
I know. And this is amazing because I've seen it. The whole team saw it.
And you all laughed. You all laughed, to be honest.
We're talking about your comedy show this year that we went to see as a team. It was incredibly funny. I'll see myself out. And it is now going to be on Amazon.
Yes, from November 5. So if you're not signed up to Amazon Prime, do it. And you can get it in here. Just so many family-friendly stories.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one that I chose not to take my mum to, that show. Maybe don't watch it in the bedroom with mum.
Mum saw it and she said these words.
It's your mum, though.
She said these words after. She said, darling, a funny show. The story about you getting urinated on was hilarious.
Did she actually?
Yes.
God. You're lucky that she's your mother and not my mother. If I told a story about being urinated on, don't reckon that's what my mum would say.
But you've got so many of them to tell.
She'd go, that was an interesting story.
Segways,
oh, no, this is your little guy in your head picking them all out, going, that one, no, that one, no, okay, 2009.
I've got a sort of related story coming up next. Hope Mum's not listening. Yeah.
Whoa.
Stick around.
Okay.
It's Gary.
After Jua.
Gary and Tommy.
For your Thursday arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
You've got a feel for a guy doing a bit of gardening near Windsor Castle in the UK. Do we have a bit of English music? He's requesting a bit of English music. What's this?
It's got Save the Queen, the remix.
Nah, but I feel like I need a bit more royal kind of sound.
Where'd you get the bum bag from?
We're near Windsor Castle.
Do you want something from it?
He's in the backyard. He loves his garden. And he's digging around.
Of course,
when
he's
all
English.
Of a sudden.
Yeah, what happens?
Splash. He and his entire garden get covered with human excrement from a plane flying overhead.
What do you mean it dropped it on it? On him?
Apparently. Apparently, and I didn't understand this is how it works, but the plane is meant to freeze. So cold up there that the excrement freezes, right? And then they must offload it when they land. But because it had been unusually warm, it had all melted and started seeping out of the plane and then it landed not just on him but across his entire backyard.
I mean, good for the garden.
Good for the mulch, yes.
Yes.
Not good for him, though. All you have to think of is the smell when you go into a plane toilet.
No,
but I didn't understand. I thought, I know this is going to be very dumb to say this, I thought that the when you go to the toilet in a plane, that when you flush, it just goes straight out into the air and it kind of disintegrates because you're going so fast and everything that it just sort of disintegrates. I didn't realise they catch it and hold on to it.
I thought they held on. I did think that noise,
when you flush, it sounds like it's going outside.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when I was little, yeah, that is what happened. But then I thought, well, I would have been hit in the head by a human turd.
No, I never imagined by the time it got to land that it was in the shape still. I just thought it kind of dissipated.
And so when it would
I used to get scared when it would flush. I got very scared when
you
I
get
was a
sucked
kid.
Out.
I still get a little bit scared. I try to flush and quickly get out of the toilet because the noise makes you think I'm going to get sucked out.
Is that why last time we were on a plane together, you opened the toilet door and then got out and then leaned inside to flush it?
I often do that.
And then I remember because when you got up again, you got the steward to go in and flush it for you.
I did not. Can someone check what actually happened? Do you know you're a pilot almost? What happens to...
Oh, and I'm also a member of turdsintheskyweekly.org. So
what happens if you need to go when you're flying in your little plane? You can't. You just hold on, don't you?
Yeah, there's no toilet.
What if you're flying long distance? You just go into a bottle or something?
Yeah, well, you've got to refuel at some point anyway. You can't fly for whatever, 10 hours or anything.
No, but how long can you hold on for? You'd be flying for a couple of hours, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd just pee in a few bottles, mate.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
And then toss it out the window and hopefully hit some bloke who's gardening.
Producer Sonda, what normally happens to...
You're exactly right. It gets stored in a special tank, a sewage tank, and then disposed of once you land.
Oh,
you can't just spray poo on everyone as you're flying around.
No, you can't. Clearly, this guy's... Not happy about it.
No, because I have a poo-related bit of information for you. Yes, because couldn't you believe that I also wanted to talk about turds falling from the sky?
It's turned into crap chat.
So funny you say that. Jess, hit it. Chat-chat, bird did a poo. Chat-chat, in the sunroof. Chat-chat, this bird is rude. Chat-chat, bird, no thank you. I noticed
that bird
something.
That noise is me, I might
that
add.
Is, that
proud
is.
To say.
Yes.
So that's not quite crap chat. That's,
no.
Yeah, that the was, other word.
Yes.
I find it hard to say that word.
No, that was chat chat.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Did you think it was scat chat?
No, I knew what it was. What's your...
I was driving along today and I didn't even notice it when it happened, but my sunroof was open and I looked at my empty passenger seat and I went, that is a bit of bird shit there. And
through the sunroof. While you were driving?
While I was driving along, I assume. Yeah,
but you didn't see
along.
It happen?
No.
Maybe it was when you were parked getting a coffee or something.
I don't think so. My sunroof closes.
I mean, you could theoretically have a bird fly in and sit there.
You could.
Couldn't you?
Think of all the possibilities. Let's do that.
You could have possum jump through and hang out.
What's
a
come?
Bat?
What's come through your sunroof? Give us a call, 131060. I remember seeing a video where they had a snake on their windscreen.
Oh,
they were driving along and they turned the windscreen wipers on to try to get it off
and it
went up and into the sunroof.
Stop.
Give us a call, 131060. Jeez, we don't get to play the opener again if we do this, do we?
Nah, it's all right.
What came through the sunroof? Give us a call.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy's $1 million alpha box is coming up very soon, so stick around.
On 131060, we're asking, what went in your sunroof? Because I was driving along and I looked across and just sitting on my passenger seat, just a big old bird turd.
Lucky it wasn't the bird though, because then it would flap. I reckon a bird could easily come in, but would struggle to get back out.
Yes. Oh gosh, I'd crash my car.
Yeah,
sure.
It'd flap about in front of you. Stephen, what came through your sunroof?
Grasshoppers.
Oh my God.
Oh, like how many?
We would. Oh, in the car we probably had probably 300 or 400.
We
drove through a locust plague, and it was my brother's ute, and the sunroof was glass was broken, so we didn't have a sunroof. The window was just covered with feces and
oh my
body
God.
Oils.
Stephen,
not yours, I'm assuming.
Stephen, what did you do?
Because we had to keep going, we just put the wipers on and it just turned to yuck.
Yeah.
And eventually we had to pull up and just wipe the grasshoppers off the radiator because the car was overheating, and wipe the window down as best we could, keep going for another 5 or 6 k's through them. Pull up again, clean the radiator.
With the like plague, like how many K is it K's of locusts or?
Yes. Oh, it was probably about 15 K's we were driving for.
That's a lot of locusts.
Isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I know that's stating the obvious.
Yeah.
But that's a,
yeah. Yeah, that's gross. Growing, Steve, thank you for getting involved. I don't know if we can.
Top that.
Yeah.
Abby Rose, can you top that?
I had my first car and I decided to take it for a nice little hand wash down the car wash there. So I had to go through the car wash and the whole car wash came through my sunroof. All the seals were broken and I got absolutely flooded. Car was pretty much a write-off.
Oh, no. Yeah, and car washes are terrifying at the best of times too.
Exactly right. I felt absolutely trapped and I was about to drown.
Your car was...
So you're sitting in it in the water, do you understand?
Oh, sorry,
are you looking confused?
I was looking confused that your car was pretty much a write-off.
Well, it'd be flooded.
Well, it was the mould that persisted afterwards. I tell you, it filled up that much.
Oh, did you try and shut it once you knew what was going on or did panic
set in? But that would have been the next funny story. You should have seen me, you know, water coming down my face all over me. It was, no luck there.
Oh, good on you, Abby Rose. Thank you. Craig. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate, legend.
Mate, I'm going to take your bird poo and raise it to dog poo.
Oh.
What do you mean?
But there was also a dog attached to it as well, too.
Wow.
So let me tell you the story first of all. Or let me tell you disclaimers first of all. I had to sign this story away and I no longer own the rights to this story, so I can't tell you all the details.
Okay.
But I was driving along my car in Sydney, Wakehurst Parkway, and there was a very high elevated, footpath area. Yeah. And driving along probably 35 kilometres, maybe 40 kilometres an hour, and a dog came through the window, my sunroof, landed inside the car, hit me. I sort of crapped myself with the dog. The dog crapped itself as well too. I hit a parked car and, there was insurance damage done. So my insurance company bought the rights to the story off me so they could run a TV commercial for it.
Wow.
Are you in the TV commercial, Craig?
No, it's not me, but it's the story.
You should be in there, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm too good looking for TV. I'm better suited for radio, I think. Sorry, Tommy. Sorry.
I don't know why you had to single out me there, Craig.
Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Thursday, Arvo. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And right on cue, Carrie's just chucked a Vitaweet in her mouth.
I better stop eating these before we try and give away $10,000 up next.
That's not an endorsement deal of any time. Just pure unprofessionalism.
Your baby came in the face of Vitaweet. Good just for your digestion.
But they made you, as part of your deal, you have to, in four talk breaks, you have to be eating Vitaweets the whole time. Management started asking, Carrie, are you eating through the whole? No.
Are we going to give $1 million away up next?
Ooh.
Oh, stay tuned. It's getting close.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
For your drive home, the Savo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
$1 million Alpha Bucks.
Alpha Bucks Millionaire.
G'day, Ian.
G'day, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty great.
Oh, what part of the world are you from, Ian?
Originally England.
And whereabouts are you now?
I'm in Moorabark in Melbourne.
I know Moorabark. Mm.
Yes.
When did you move out, Ian?
2012.
Good on you.
Great.
Well, welcome. I can't believe I haven't welcomed you earlier. I'm sorry. It's rude on my part, and I should have found you and said welcome. How are you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you cool, calm, and collected? Have you been practicing?
Very nervous.
Okay.
But we'll give it a crack anyway.
Yes, and what are you going to do? Let's just think positive. Let's say you win today, you get $10,000. It also means you get your spot on Million Dollar Day and chance to win $1 million. Let's say you win that as well. What are you doing with the money?
If I get $1 million, the first thing I'm doing is going to Dan Murphy's and buying one of those 6.5K bottles of whiskey. just to see if they taste any different than the $40 bottle.
The one that's kept in the cabinet.
That's the ones, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you.
You could buy
Ian.
A few of them, I reckon, if you win $1 million. Tommy will come around and have a drink with you.
I would absolutely love to.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds like heaven.
Let's do this.
Here's what you need to know, Ian. You've got 30 seconds to answer all 10 questions. We take your first answer. You can't use the same answer twice. As I already said, 10 correctly, 10 grand's yours. Spot on $1 million day pass. If you don't have an answer, we'll come back to it if we have time. And the time will start at the end of the first question. Carrie will give you your letter. And after she does that, are you ready to go?
As ready as I can be.
Okay.
All right, Ian, your letter is D for dollars. D.
Okie dokie.
All right. Name something you do on a date.
A drink.
A family member.
Pass.
A three-letter word.
Dog.
A theme park.
Disneyland.
Something extinct.
Dinosaurs.
A flower.
Daisy.
A sea animal.
Dolphin.
A bakery food.
Donut.
An occupation.
Dentist.
A Santa's reindeer.
No. Pass.
We played this before off air, and I got stuck on a family member as well. And then when you hear dad, daughter, it seems so easy. Yeah. But it's so hard.
Santa's reindeer, Ian. Dasher, Dancer, and Donna.
Donna? Mm. I didn't know Donna was one of the reindeers.
Yeah, Donna's at the back. She just, chills out. Yeah.
Sorry, Ian.
Great effort. Thank you for getting involved. It is not long till $1 million day.
We've got a clue for tomorrow morning's 8 a.m. $1 million Alpha Bucks still to come, so stick with us.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Thursday arvo. It's Carrie Pickmore and Tommy Little.
There's nothing better than seeing the world through the eyes of children.
Mm.
You know, why are you looking at me funny?
Eli's cold and he wants the air conditioning turned
up. I'm trying to give you some heartfelt kid gear.
But sorry, he was doing.
Gear.
Yeah, I know, but he looked like a little
hold
kid.
On,
he
I'll
was.
Turn the,
he was.
There we go.
You can't air freeze console. Our web guy.
And scene. There is nothing better than seeing the world through the eyes of children.
Yes. Is there? I don't understand what it means.
I just love how kids see the world.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're
kids
not,
are great.
They're not clouded by adulthood. No, they just their views of the world and what they think they want out of life and what they think makes life special. They haven't been jaded. Like,
I know
you
what
know
we're
what
doing. Are we doing kids say the dumbest things?
No, we're not. Well, they have said things. But they're not that darndest.
Are they pretty darned, though?
No, I think they're really darned? Fun. There's a guy called George Poynton in the UK. He's a teacher. And
he hosts Kids Say the Darndest Things over there, doesn't he?
Does he?
No.
Oh. Anyway, there's a Twitter thread going that he has started where he asked a group of six-year-olds to come up with a mantra to help us get through life. And they all
on
submitted.
On Twitter?
No, they're not on Twitter. Amy just talked. Mum, sorry. Just got a tweet I got to send.
Mum, there's a hashtag. That's Mr. Poynton, don't worry.
Mr. Poynton.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Poynton, what is it today? What was it? Theories about the world or something?
No, mantras to help get us through life.
Evie, what's your mantra? I can imagine no follow-up questions from Evie. Oh, today my mantra is breathe deeply, live in the moment.
Well, it's funny you say that. So they're not on Twitter themselves, but he has collated their responses and he's put them on Twitter and now everybody's adding in different thoughts that kids have had.
Right.
On behalf of the children. So here is some of the mantras that he has gathered from children about how we should live life.
Yes.
JJ says, only be friends with people who you want to be friends with. It's a good mantra for life.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty good.
How many people do you have in your life, and I know the answer to this, that you actually don't like?
None.
Lots. You're always grumbling about having to go hang out with somebody you don't want to hang out with.
No. I just...
See, you need to take a leaf out of JJ's book and only be friends with people you want to be friends with.
Wait till that kid grows up and's got no mates.
Jack says, you might get told off, but sometimes you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
See?
He's met you.
Ravi says, some people don't have anything, so be happy you have everything.
Yeah. I don't have everything.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's not the point of his thing. He's saying that, Ravi's bragging, step back and look at what other people have and realise that you have everything
you
need.
Is this a rich school thing?
Lola. I mean, Lola says you can't swim in a sink, but a bath is just a big sink.
You can't swim in a bath, Lola.
It's perspective, you know.
What do you mean?
Or George says he believes she's talking about perspective. One person's baby steps is another's giant leap.
I bet you get over to Lola's house and she's doing the dishes in the bath and it really gives her parents to shoes.
Final word to Emma, who says the people who don't talk still have something to say.
Aww. Not always. Sometimes they just realise. Like,
I prefer the six-year-old's mantra to life, not yours. Yeah. I'm starting to wonder whether those friends you don't want to hang out with actually don't want to hang out with you either.
I still had something to say. I just didn't say it.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
That's where you're at for your Thursday afternoon. It's still plenty more to come, the Savo guys.
Because can I have a clue for the clue for Million Dollar Alpha Bucks?
You can. It is the sound for tomorrow morning's 8 a.m. Million Dollar Alpha Bucks. This is what the clue
is. Yes,
yes. It's the sound a balloon makes when it, when it pops.
Is it? Bang.
It's pop.
It's pop. Okay.
I'm terrible at giving clues to the clues, aren't I?
You could have gone rice bubbles, snap, crackle, and.
I get it. What pop. Okay. The clue is pop.
Okay.
Anyway, still heaps more to come. Stick around.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for the drive home, the Sabo.
Because it has been a while since we've done this, and I've just had a lot of people coming up to me, you know. They've been coming up to me in the street.
Are they New Zealanders usually?
No. Some. I was trying to work out which is better to say. Yeah, actually they are. Yes. Yeah. They've given me their full blessing.
Have they?
Yeah, for the segment.
They said, love your accent.
Yeah, they said, we love it. It's fantastic. And I even had work getting my car out the traffic lights the other day. And he said, Where is it? I said, where's what, mate? And he said, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about this.
We interrupt this broadcast with breaking news.
Here is the latest news.
The latest news.
News.
From across the Dutch.
Oh, no. Bickers. Oh, I haven't spoken to you in a while. How are you, Bickers?
I know, I've missed you.
Oh, wait, you do your voice.
I know, you know I can't.
Give it a go.
Mine's news from the aisle.
The aisle? What do you mean, news from the aisle?
Of the bus?
Which aisle? Aisle 6?
Say the apple aisle. But then I realised that's not England.
Isn't that Tassie?
Yep.
Oh, give us your Tassie
anyway,
accent.
All I was going to say is I could do news from England because that's the only accent I can
give
do.
Give us a bit of that.
No, we're here to hear you in New Zealand.
Well, let's stay focused on the topic then, because did you know that there was an official Wizard of New Zealand?
I did. I heard about this.
What's his name?
I can't remember, but they used to pay him a salary. And they've decided to stop paying him because they decided it's not a thing.
Well, why didn't you just do the story then? I was about to bring you all that information.
But this is like 3 weeks old.
Yeah, we don't get news from across the ditch that much.
I heard it on another radio station a couple of weeks ago.
Producer Annabelle, can you button on, please? Have you given me an old story?
I'm so sorry.
We did it on the project too a couple of weeks ago.
I should have probably checked myself, Annabelle. I don't think you're fully to blame for this.
Have you any other things you could bring us from New Zealand?
Yep. I've got this other story about a man named Ian Brackenbury.
Oh, that's the name of the wizard.
Damn it.
Why don't you do some magic?
Shut up, Jesse. I've got one other story here. You won't believe what someone was paid $16,000 a year to do because...
To be a wizard.
Shit. Jesse, give us the opener. Thank you. That was...
We interrupt this broadcast with breaking news.
Here is the latest news.
The latest news.
News.
From across the Dutch.
Well, to all those people that approached me in the street and to that man that got in the car... Oh, I hope that really quenched your thirst.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Now that the podcast is over, Carrie and Tommy are definitely thinking about a quick and nutritious dinner, like responsibly sourced Tassal Tassie salmon. Switch it up, Australia, and get a healthy boost of omega-3 tonight.